Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hi, welcome to our news podcast. I'm talking with Roy Zaka, founder and CEO of Layer. How are you doing, Roy?
I'm doing well. How are you, Ronan?
Great, thanks. And first of all, tell me a bit about your background so we know who you are.
I'm a techie. I'm a geek. And I had a few startups before. And while I was working on some other problems, I was frustrated with my banking experience.
Yeah.
And started working on that, and here we are, with Layer now. That's what I'm working on right now.
Yeah, and what experience did you have problems with, or did you not like?
It was mostly internet banking at the time.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating, was very slow, it was very limited. And mobile phones, smartphones were starting to be more available. Technology was advancing, etc. And it just seemed that banking was kind of stuck at a different era.
Yeah.
So I was working on some more interesting stuff on the mobile side, and I started putting two and two together and started approaching banks from the mobile side and from a customer side, and then working my way backwards.
Yeah, because I can remember years ago, my bank, Vodafone Bank, they've for years had an online banking, and also I had an app. The online banking service and the website was something that I didn't find easy to use, but the app was okay. And the app slowly is going stronger and stronger and stronger. And now, for example, if I'm shopping online, it will actually tell me to go to my app and make a confirm it's me buying things. Whereas 7 years ago, you couldn't do that. And it's doing a lot more now than it could do. But I know other banks probably don't really think about that until the pandemic has made them change.
Right. The pandemic has been, it's been a disruptor, but it's also been an accelerator.
Yeah.
So now everything has to be done remotely, including banking. And that's sort of where we come in. We basically help, banks,
yeah,
financial institutions. We help them, to become the Revolutes of banking,
yeah,
in a very short period of time.
Because I remember a few years ago, I was at a MasterCard laboratory in Dublin, and they were showing me how that in Africa, a lot of people who don't have bank accounts, but they use their dumb phones to pay for things. And I'm thinking, if they're doing that with dumb phone, why aren't we using smartphones more efficiently here in Ireland and Europe? And then you're offering the kind of service that they're looking for in that way.
Yeah, we have some customers in Africa and in West Africa, and as you said, they just use their feature phones. You can open an account with a feature phone in a few minutes.
Yeah.
You can actually open an account and start transacting without even setting foot at the bank. It's pretty amazing.
And for me, basically right now, when I'm looking at what's going on with the pandemic, I've seen a lot of banks now are closing premises down and are either merging with somewhere else or they're more or less going online, or you walk into your branch, there's no one there anymore. All these automated machines, or you talk to somebody via phone.
Yeah. Branches are not, it's nice to have a branch every now and then, yeah, because when things go wrong, you'd want to know there's somewhere where you can actually visit.
Yeah.
But branches are not really to do transactions. You want to push transactions to, mobile, to ATMs, etc.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you would go to a branch, is more for advice. Which is where the bank should come in. They should be more like an experience, like going to an Apple store,
yeah,
where you're just kind of looking at the new cool tech and you're getting advice on how to solve your problems rather than transacting.
I was about to mention that, because to me, when you said it, I thought Apple store, because I've been to Apple stores in the UK, and when you walk in there, it's not about the hard sell. It's about how can we help you? What problems do you have? Come here,
exactly,
to the Genius Lab. We'll look after you. And I'm thinking, that's great. And if you go to a bank right now and you know that any problems that can be dealt with online pretty easily, that's fair enough. That's great. It means you walk into a branch and you're only there to solve problems. which you might have, and not create issues, which is great.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess for you, luckily, technology has changed so much that right now you couldn't do this 10 years ago properly, whereas you can now.
You can pretty much do everything now for remotely.
Yeah.
Even for the employees of the bank, they can do pretty much everything remotely.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, not many people, you know, I mean, I haven't used cash in almost 2 years, you know, with the pandemic and everything being touchless and, you know, everything tap to pay.
Yeah.
So, your paycheck is deposited directly into your bank account, and then you use mobile tools to basically, you know, to pay for things, pay your bills, everything is online. And anytime you go physically to a store, it's tap to pay. Or you're prepaying for something and you're just going to a restaurant to pick it up type of thing.
Yeah.
So really the bank is just a fancy wallet. They're holding your money.
Yeah.
And you just have different digital ways of accessing it.
Because I haven't used cash much in the past 2 or 3 years. And mostly when you go somewhere, my wallet is no longer with me. I use my Apple Watch, tap and pay, and it's great doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in the States 2 weeks ago. It was my first trip in almost 2 years, and it was a wake up call. Yeah. I went to places where they did not have to pay. They asked me to get a card physically to them, like I had to physically put my card.
Yeah,
they were using the magnetic side of the card in some merchants. It was just like wow. It was a wake up call.
It's like years ago, the first AGM was introduced in the UK. And it's hard to believe that it took a while for other countries to adopt that. I'm still looking in America at a country that should be adopting technology, but at times they don't do that. I don't quite get that.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's just, it's a lot larger, a lot more merchants.
Yeah.
And getting merchants to, you know, upgrade their terminals, etc. I think what they've done is they've shifted the liability. So, like, if there's fraud, if there's chargeback, the merchants that have not upgraded their equipment, they're liable for these transactions. Whereas if they had a chip and pin type of setup, they won't be. So, yeah.
I know it's kind of strange, but I mean, in one way, I'm glad technology has moved along. And you said earlier, we have banks transform. I remember 3 years ago, people were telling me that their office wouldn't allow them to work remotely because it couldn't be done. Suddenly, with the pandemic, it's been done overnight. And with you guys, I presume what you're doing, it might take a few months, maybe 6 months at max to get them to do this. Is that how it works?
Yeah, for a typical bank, once we're done with our setup, they could be running the bank remotely. They don't even have to come. They'd be just like their customers.
Yeah.
They can get a lot of things done without having to set foot in the bank. That's the premise of our solution.
And to me, that's a good solution, but it must take quite a while to get this developed. Like, you couldn't have done it overnight.
No, we've been at this thing for a good 10 years.
Yeah.
We're not a new company, but it's taken us many iterations. So it took us 3 major iterations and pivots to get to where we are. And we're very happy with the solution that we have. And towards the end of the year, we'll be launching our new ISO 27001 certified cloud. And this cloud solution is what we're going to be offering to banks everywhere globally, so that having them launch our solution will be even faster than the way we were doing it before.
And what will it do that makes it different? Because it's cloud-based, I presume it means they can access anywhere without having to have anything on their system. Is that how it works?
Yes. So basically what we do is we take advantage of the public clouds. We'll be using multiple clouds just in case one cloud provider is down.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is the banks don't have to worry about their own infrastructure in that case. So we supplement whatever they have, so they don't have to replace any of their existing equipment. We come in as layers on top of their existing infrastructure.
Yeah.
But we're just in the cloud. And once we hook up to their systems, they can run their systems from our cloud.
Yeah. So in a way, it's kind of like Salesforce.
It is. It is the Salesforce of banking. That's pretty much what we do.
And I guess if you tell a bank they don't think they're going to upgrade the technology to use this, there's no reason why they can't then take up the technology what you're giving them, because it's why wouldn't they do this if they don't have to do any upgrades?
It depends on the bank and their maturity. So yeah. Some banks like to do things themselves. We have our solution where we can install it for them on-prem.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to do that, then we could do it in the cloud, and we can do a hybrid model. Yeah. So we have customers that want to do it, especially customers that launch in multiple countries, where in certain countries, the jurisdiction, they're allowed to do cloud, and others, they're not. So wherever they're not, we can supply on-prem type of solutions.
That's good. And also, again, because it's on cloud, it's more secure and safer as well.
It definitely is. And what it also relieves their own infrastructure from having to take on the, you know, the hits. All they have to worry about now would be increasing their customer uptake. They'll be able to give their customers a better user experience. So all they have to worry about is really acquiring new customers and at the same time servicing the new customers and their existing customers, rather than worrying about infrastructure and, you know, doing upfront costs. We actually managed to reduce their OPEX by a good 40%.
Yeah. For me, it means they don't have to worry about the headaches. You take care of all the headaches for them, and then they do what they do best, which is banking.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And I guess, basically, are you going to, have you seen any signs of getting involved in crypto space as well, or is that just something you're not, that's out of your control at the moment?
So basically, the banks today, what they have, their core banking system is also known as a ledger.
Yeah.
So whether the ledger is a single ledger or a distributed ledger, and you can call it blockchain at that at that point in time, it's really transparent to us.
Yeah.
So what we've developed is we've developed a marketplace, and in this marketplace, we're finding the best of fintechs that are out there. And some of these fintechs are providing, you know, cryptocurrencies and you know, blockchain technologies. So we help banks that where the regulator allows them to get into cryptocurrencies and distributed finance. And we just basically hook up with those fintechs, and we allow the banks to offer these same services to their customers.
Well, I guess in a way it's like Salesforce. Salesforce offer many different plugins for their platform. And you're doing the exact same, except it's in the banking space.
Exactly. We're specialized, so we only do banking. We don't do anything else.
And I guess with stuff like crypto and stuff, getting back to that, that's something that banks are still finding a hard time getting used to because they don't trust it.
It's not a question of trust, right? It's more of a question of, you know, It's a question of the regulators in the various countries accepting that, because there's risk, there's compliance.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we want to make sure you're not funding terrorists. You know, you're not having funny activities happening on something that you're liable for, because the banks are highly regulated. So once all of that is you know, is that into place, cryptocurrencies are just another form of, you know, exchanging value.
Yeah. I know that recently in El Salvador, they introduced Bitcoin as a currency. And that, to me, is once someone's done that, it's not long for others will then follow that route, hopefully.
It is. It's interesting they chose Bitcoin as their, you know, their currency. But today, on the back of this announcement, their largest bank now is accepting, you know, payments in cryptocurrencies. Merchants are, et cetera. So it's interesting. But from what I'm seeing, what's going on in the, you know, in the rest of the world, a lot of the countries or a lot of the central banks are looking at minting their own central bank cryptocurrencies.
Yes.
And that could be, you know, that's another interesting way of getting into cryptocurrency.
Yeah, but also the thing for me with that is, how do you stop hyperinflation with that? Because you control it, and you've got nobody else controls it but that country.
That would be beyond my
mine too. That's because I'm thinking basically in the past, if I could, like Argentina, when they had inflation, when they tried to produce more currency, I'm thinking, well, with Bitcoin, with a cryptocurrency, it was produced by that one country only. They control it more or less, and it's just wondering basically how they make sure. But I guess that's for another time, another place, because I don't know too much about that. And
I guess that was. There was a book that came out about Argentina,
yeah.
So about how countries fail. And I think they went into the detail of that, you know, how that whole thing fell apart and, you know, that their whole currency and the economy, etc., which is what is happening in Lebanon. We started this conversation earlier, so they're having a similar situation. But the problems, as you know, with the current bitcoins is, you know, in its heyday, it was the, you know, how slow the transactions were. So it was taking, you know, a long time to kind of put a transaction through. The costs were kind of going up, which kind of defeats the whole purpose of cryptocurrencies. They're supposed to be instant, immediate, decentralized, and they're supposed to cost very little to do. So I'm sure they're going to survive, but it might not be in this particular version. You know, think of it as Bitcoin being version 1.0, and there's going to be many iterations on this blockchain until we get it right. But you know, the future is definitely going in that direction.
And I guess with your sales, I can see probably in the future using more blockchain technology, maybe smart contracts will be used more in your platform as well.
They would be, but again, smart contracts have problems if they have because they're based on code.
Yeah.
And if there are bugs in the code, then you know that's kind of inherited in the smart contracts. So it's very specific use cases, and it's still early days. But yes, in the future, that's pretty much how things are headed in that direction.
And what else do you think in the future? Where do you think you guys will be in 10 years' time? Or 5 years' time?
Well, what we're doing right now for licensed institutions, right? You need a license at the end of the day. So we're helping licensed institutions to basically accelerate their digital efforts, their digitalization efforts, to become digital almost overnight. And at the same time, we're bringing them the best of the fintechs that are out there so that they can combine these offerings, so their own offerings, the best of the fintechs offerings into one application that they can customize to their customers. Yeah. So as a customer, instead of worrying about having one account in my bank, another account with, you know, a Bitcoin exchange and having to worry about transferring my money from the bank to the Bitcoin, it'll be my bank that's, you know, allowing me to exchange cryptocurrencies all one and the same, and things are kind of seamless. I trust my bank and I do that. At the same time, we're helping non-financial institutions get into, you know, banking or offering embedded finance.
Yeah.
So if you, Ronan, wanted to launch your own bank, we can help you that in 3 months, you can have an application that people can download, Ronan Bank, without you needing a license. And your customers can EKYC themselves, and they can get an instant IBAN account in euros and British pounds, and they can make payments and deposit. They can do an instant digital, you know, card attached to that. And you can have your own Ronin Bank up and running in no time.
It reminds me of like maybe a customized Swiss Army knife, where each customer, each bank gets an army knife, has different options on the knife. Like one might have a scissors, one might have a little saw or toothpick. It varies.
You got it. Not only are the banks will be able to have different offerings, but also their customers. So they can segment their customers. So if they have customers that are students, they can package things for them in a way that you download one application, but once you authenticate as a student, you're only going to see products and services that are geared for students. If you're a professional, you're going to see different things. If you're a corporate, you're going to see a different set of products and services, but all from one application. And also regarding of the digital channel that you communicate with the bank, it'll be one seamless journey.
Yeah.
So think of it as the Netflix moment, right? You can start on your journey on one channel. You can stop, you can switch to another channel. You don't have to start over. You continue where you left off, and then you can finish it on even a third channel.
Yeah, and also I guess with Netflix, it will ask you how old you are. So if you're a certain age, you can watch certain things. And the older you are, the more you can access.
You got it. You got it.
That to me is great because like I can see, like with students in the past, years ago, when I was student bank account, you're offered certain things that were students only. And then when you're older, that wasn't required anymore, and you went back and you like to change your bank account, and you're going to, I want to be more business and more personal. And the things you used to get, you don't get anymore. But I guess it's great that basically, as you grow older with yourselves and given customers, they can adapt and change.
That is correct. So it's from youth offering, And then how do you nurture the, you know, the next generation, right? As your customers evolve, as their needs evolve,
yeah.
You want to be able to continuously offer them new and relevant services. So banking at the end of the day is not a place that you go to. Banking has to be something that's ubiquitous, present, wherever you happen to be. Yeah. Whether it's a physical location, you're about to do something, you want your bank to insert itself in the transaction, or if it's something that you're doing online, you want your bank to be, you know, omnipresent and be able to help you when you need your bank.
Well, I guess you can say it's like the cloud. It's all around us. And anywhere you go, you can access it.
Exactly, exactly. Same thing with bank.
Yeah, which in my view is great, because I remember years ago, when you were doing online banking, it was difficult to do. And I recently, my father and I were trying to do online banking. And they asked, we got it in the post, a little key card, put a little key code in to use it online. And I'm thinking, no, I prefer to do it on my mobile phone because it doesn't require that. Once it knows it's me because I'm logging in and it texts my face, knows that's Ronan, go do what you want to do.
Exactly, exactly.
But it can be so annoying when you got a, like a file goes, Where's my little card? I have to key the code into. I don't know where I put it. I'm thinking, why do you need that? You don't need that. That's me stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the phone has become so ubiquitous, and it's getting more and more power. You know, more computing power, more security, more second factor authentication, more biometrics built in. It's evolving. Even the wearables as well. The smartwatches. Etc. Yeah. Etc. So things are evolving. So it really depends on where you are, what you're doing. You at home, you could be using your voice, with an Alexa or a Google Voice type of device, and you can transact with your bank, or get things done. And on the move, in the bus, public transportation, or when you're walking, you would use your mobile phone. And some places, you'd use other devices. It's all contextual and depend on what you're doing.
I know that there's one in MasterCard that got a great device. It's a little device you put in your hand and finger, and it detects your heart rate. Because your heart rate is unique to you, knows it's you. And you can then go shopping with that. And also, if your heart rate is elevated to something else, to know you've been pressurized into doing something you shouldn't be doing, so it won't let you use it. Because it knows that's not your heart rate. You're under pressure. Someone's forcing you to do something you shouldn't be doing. It can detect these things, and that to me is great. And I can see those things becoming more and more standardized as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As you get IoTs and different devices, smart glasses, smart clothing. There's all sorts of things being announced all the time, and all sorts of the smart contact lenses.
Yeah, I know Apple are bringing that again soon. I'm not sure when exactly, but that version of Google Glass.
Yeah, I think they have everybody is speculating now, but they do have an announcement on the 14th tomorrow, yeah. Right?
Tomorrow I think is going to be the new Apple Watch and a new iPhone. And the Apple Watch, I'm thinking people are telling me that it's going to involve a glucose monitor that can check if you're diabetic, it can check your sugar status, which could be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. They're talking even about augmented reality as well.
Yeah.
Which is something that I'm looking forward, because we're doing some interesting stuff as well in augmented reality and banking. So, yeah.
Because I know that when they brought out on the latest version of the current phones, they've got LiDAR built in, which might be a great version of augmented reality. That's brilliant having that. And in the future, I think it's going to become kind of so that when you're working in a building or something else, and you want to figure out how you're going to design, set up a new room. In fact, you can use a phone and just measure it up, bring it around, and then they can tell you, this is what it should look like.
Yeah, yeah.
So before you finish off, anything else you want to add to the podcast or you think you've said enough?
I think we've touched base on pretty much what we do as our platform, cloud.
And where can we find you? What's your website address?
So it's wearelayer.com. Yeah.
That's great. Okay, thanks so much for that, Roy. Have a great day and take care.
Thanks, Ronan. Thanks. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Great.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter @Irish_TechNews, on Facebook, facebook.com/IrishTechNews. On LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News. On Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie. And on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.